Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I am joined by the whole gang, Senior Pastor Bruce Miller, Senior Associate Pastor Jaime Gonzalez, and Anna Christian Fellowship's Pastor Mark Wyatt. We are right in the middle of the Christmas season with all the hustle and bustle and fun and also stress. So as part of our Christmas series, we are focusing on Jesus in the Gospel of John. We are looking at John's prologue, the first 18 verses of John's Gospel, where he talks about Jesus being the true light of the world. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. And look, the whole gang is here. Jaime.
Yay.
Mark. And Bruce.
Great to be back.
Yes, Bruce is back from Cuba.
That's right.
Great
mission trip.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what
you did. Great. It was a vision trip, which means we were going to explore the opportunity for future mission trips from Christ Fellowship, and got to meet some pastors and their wives who are just sacrificing it all for Christ. It was so inspiring and convicting because they're living with just literally almost nothing, salaries of like $50 to $100 a month. And when we asked, what can we pray for? They said that more people will trust in Christ, that we can disciple this community.
Yeah, that's amazing. So lots of good conversations, and you were there with other pastors.
There was about 8 of us from Christ Fellowship who were there, some on our staff, elders, some members of our church, and there were some Spanish speakers. And so there was just the team itself really gelled and had a lot of fun together and really talked. We were able to process together the impact on us seeing what God's doing in another country.
Yeah, that's really exciting. That's really, really cool. What a good opportunity. But you come back here and it's Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I mean, it was Christmas there too, but it probably didn't feel very like Christmas.
Not quite the same.
But here we are in McKinney in the midst of the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. This is where you go by, they drive by a mall and the parking lots are overflowing. Everyone seems just a tiny bit stressed because there's just a lot to do, but also we have a lot of cool things to look forward to. You know, parties are happening and, you know, families are going to come and we're all going to get together, I think, for Christmas, but that's not true for everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people, this is a really, really hard time of year. Mm-hmm. And so we want to acknowledge that too. And one of the things we talked about last week is the focus of John's prologue. And why it's not a traditional Christmas text, quote unquote. It doesn't tell the story of baby Jesus, no manger, no donkeys, no silent night. But it does give us sort of the theological ramifications, the significance of Christ's birth and what the incarnation means. And so John opens up by telling us that Jesus was the Word. And that's a very significant, we talked about that last week, why that's such a significant label that John gives. And he also paints Jesus as right there at the moment of creation, and kind of almost sort of flips around the creation story for us. And then he calls Jesus light and life. And then he talks about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist is a witness to the light. And we had some powerful sermons given on Sunday by Bruce. Bruce gave the sermon in Spanish.
That's
but
right.
Not Espanol. In Spanish. Jaime translated.
Yeah. So the sermon came out a lot better, don't you believe?
Did you fix his mistakes?
He did. He took what I said, made it better. We were the dynamic duo.
Yes, you guys are really good together.
He did an awesome job.
Yeah.
People were excited.
Pastor Leroy came and spoke to us in English and really just blew the roof off the place. So, and Mark, you are on the same passage. So you talked about Jesus being the light as well, and the witness, and we should be witnesses to the light. And it was a great reminder for all of us of what we can do at Christmas, mm-hmm. and that is be witnesses, that it's not about us. And it's so easy during the holidays to make it about us and our families and what we like and what we want. But to recognize that this is a time when people are willing to talk about spiritual things, maybe more so than other times of the year. Mm-hmm. And Lori Wright, who is one of our executive pastors, told a story in the staff meeting about some high school students that one of her friends teaches that didn't even know what the nativity scene was, didn't even know who baby Jesus was, hadn't even heard the story.
That was incredible to hear that.
Yeah. And I mean, we just make these assumptions that in this country and in McKinney or in this North Dallas area, people know about Jesus. They've heard of him, but that's just not true. More and more, that's less the case. They just don't have that, even that basic cultural understanding. So we have a lot we can talk about. You know what we're going to say next? It's time for those meaningful conversations.
That's right.
John 1, 9 through 13. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of human descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. All right, well, let's dig into this next part of our next part of our passage, John 1, 9 through 13. This is interesting because John has proclaimed Jesus as the light and the life. And yet this, at this point in his prologue, it kind of takes a turn, a bit of a sad turn, because you would think that when the light comes, everyone would rejoice. Everyone would be so excited that the darkness is finally banished. But John says that that's not the case, that though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And so why is that? Why is that, Jaime?
Well, I think this is not an issue of recognizing Jesus as a person, because Jesus walked among them. I think it's an issue of spiritual blindness. Mm. I think that Jesus bringing light, he brought truth and grace. The passage will later on tell us in the following verses that he brought grace and he brought truth and he brought the message of a light, and the people rejected that light because of sin. And I think of the Lord of the Rings movie in Gollum, where he talks about the ring and it's precious and precious. He gets corrupted by the power of the ring. There's that famous scene. He's caressing, you know,
holding it tight.
Holding it tight. And you want, to, I mean, let's face it, it's fun to sin. Why do we sin? Well, because it has some funness to it. It has this factor of doing something that's pleasing. But yet we know that it's momentary and it's fleeting and it doesn't fulfill. And so there's this thing in this passage where humanity is choosing to reject Jesus because we want to continue in the darkness of our sin. Mm-hmm. And so it's a spiritual blindness that is being addressed here.
Yeah, I think even for us, when we become Christians and we know better, mm-hmm. the light can be scary.
Yeah,
right. And the one hand, we want the light, but the problem with turning the light on is it exposes everything.
Yes, it does.
And there are parts of all of our lives that we're like, yeah, can we just keep this part in the dark?
Yeah,
these thoughts I have, these habits I have, these little mm-hmm. treasured, like you said, like these little precious things mm-hmm. that I don't really want the Holy Spirit to have anything to do with. I kind of holding them tight and hiding. It's just like when Adam and Eve hid in the garden, right? Mm-hmm. God says, where are you? And they just sort of hide. And that's frequently the way we are with those little hidden mm-hmm. sins. Yeah. We don't want the light. And so we shouldn't be surprised that people who, and we know better because we've experienced the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. But for people who don't know, of course, why wouldn't they? Yeah. Even though it's like you said, sin, we sin because of blindness, but sin also makes us more blind mm-hmm. yeah. into thinking that what is evil is good mm-hmm. and that we're fully justified in doing whatever we want, no matter who we hurt. Because mm-hmm. ultimately, one of the biggest issues with sin is not that we're hurting ourselves, but mm-hmm. we're also hurting other people. Because mm-hmm. most of the time sin involves, most sins are not private. There really are no such things as private sins that are just against me. You know, you think, oh, well, I'm just going to drink. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to tear your family apart if you drink too much.
Very true.
And in John 8, Jesus heals this blind man. And I think it's very symbolic that it has to do with this. But and once he sees, he follows Jesus and worships him. But the religious elite of the day, they can't see Jesus for who he is. But the blind guy does.
Yeah.
Jesus heals him. and he can see himself and his need. Right. Yeah. So,
Well, we talked about that when we did the Gospel of Mark a few months ago.
Yeah.
That was just a common problem that the people you would expect to recognize Jesus didn't. And then the people that they considered outcasts or sinful or, you know, the lepers and the people reject that you would think God had rejected because of their circumstances in life were the ones that welcomed him and saw him for who he was. And I think your point about because they knew they needed him is really important.
Right.
Because I think frequently we don't. We're like, I'm seeing fine. I got this little flashlight. I can see fine, you know. And you're like, you know, it'd really be better if you just turned the light on.
Right.
Have you ever tried walking in the dark? I can see enough in the dark. I don't have to turn on the light. And then you hit your big toe, and then I need the light.
I usually hit more my big toe, man. I'm like out on the floor hitting that.
Yeah, but that's what we think we can manage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Mark, what about this next part where it says he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him? So who are his own? What is John talking about here?
He's talking about his own, the covenant people of God. The Hebrew people rejected him, and he's one of them, which is such a surprising thing. And one of the reasons people say, well, how does this fit together? So, I think, in this way, the Hebrew people of the time, Jewish people, were expecting a political leader to come and defeat their enemies. They thought that if he's really Messiah, then, okay, he's going to take care of the Roman Empire or whoever else is standing in the way. But I think it's a similar thing here, that the reason they expected somebody to deal with the enemies that are outside them. Mm. And the enemies really are the big problem is not the, we do have problems outside us, don't get me wrong. But the greatest problem that we face is within us. Mm. And so that they rejected him because he wasn't this conquering person they expected. But I think that has to do a lot, in a sense, of our God's kingdom is upside down. Mm-hmm. If I look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says this, God's foolishness, God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, the weak things of this world to shame the strong, the low things of this world and the despised things of this world, so that no man can boast. And so I see that we're blind to these things. This is completely the upside down kingdom that he has, that when we don't see him because we think he's dealing with these enemies outside us, when he's got to deal with the stuff in us, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but here's the thing. I heard the quote you had, or you put that in Engage God Daily. I wish I had the Augustine quote. Mm-hmm. He's so right. In his rejection by his own, for what we should have been rejected by, mm-hmm. we were accepted. Mm-hmm. He became this rejection. And then I think that goes into, you know, the stone the builders rejected became has the become the chief cornerstone. Mm-hmm. And it's that ironic thing that we see. So I really see that it's how we see his kingdom, and his kingdom is different than what we would think.
Yeah. And really it blew the minds of the Jewish people that God would include Gentiles in his plan. They just were not expecting that. They were the chosen people. And by the time Jesus came, they had really become even more snobby about it. You know, they really were like, you know, everybody else is unclean. They took God's law and used it as a bludgeon against not only Gentiles, but their own people. The Pharisees did, the leaders. And so they just, that blinded them. And it blew their mind that God would want all people.
Right. And especially the people that are weak. And, you know, when you see your need, man, that's the time that you're open for this grace that God gives.
Yeah. And I think, Bruce, that goes back to this beginning line where he says that the true light that gives to everyone, that gives light to everyone. And so some people have looked at this verse and go, hey, wait a minute. Does that mean that everyone is going to, you know, eventually end up in heaven? does everyone see the light? But I think John tells us no.
The wonderful news is, though, that the true light comes to give light to everyone, mm-hmm. which is going to later tie to the famous John 3:16, God so loved the world. So it says here in verse 9 that the light was coming into the world. He was in the world, though the world was made through him. The world didn't recognize him. And John's looking at the whole world, everyone. So sometimes people think that only a certain group of people are Christians or a certain ethnicity. But Jesus really came for everyone in the world. And the light that came to bring light to everyone. He created the whole world, which shows that he's God. Everyone can see the creation. And then God gives spiritual light to everyone to which they can respond to or reject. As Mark said, many people reject the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he gives this light, but we sometimes don't want to see it. Even his own people didn't want to see that he was mm-hmm. the light. And yet the people who did, the people who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So that is a pretty profound statement, because what we're talking about here is, he clarifies, he's like, I'm not talking about like human children of natural mm-hmm. descent. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about an ethnic line. I'm not talking about a lineage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you can trace your you know, grandparents and your great-great-grandparents all the way back to Abraham. It's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a different kind of family that's far bigger than anything I think anyone would have imagined. I mean, you think about, particularly in this day, how many different gods there were around. And to imagine that everybody could, you know, focus on the one. And we talked about that last week, how it's very clear from John's language that there's not a lot of words. There's just the word. Mm-hmm. And to think that all people would be, that worshiping the word would be something available to all people was not something that was a common thought in this day and age.
And yet, like you said, not everyone sees the light. People run from the light. They want to stay in the darkness. They don't want to come into the light. And it's the same way with being children of God. A common misunderstanding is that we're all children of God. Mm. Now, what is true is that we're all God's creations. We were all made by God. God created all of us.
In his image.
In his image.
So there's worth and dignity there.
In that sense, you could say we're children of God in that sense. But this is something really different. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the word right in Greek is the word exousia. It means the authority. And so only some people have the authority to become children of God. Mm-hmm. Not everyone.
Yeah. And why? What does it mean to believe? I mean, this is something that I think can sometimes be misinterpreted or misunderstood. All those who believe in his name. So all I have to do is say, I believe in Jesus, and that's enough to be part of the children of God? Or is it enough?
I think that word there in the Greek combines two things. It's acknowledging, believing in something, but then you put your loyalty and your faith mm-hmm. in that, right? Because I can believe many things, yet not ascribe loyalty to that belief. And so it's a half belief in some sense, right? There's this famous illustration out there about someone crossing the Niagara Falls on a tightrope with a tightrope walker. And then he asks someone in the audience, I'm going to cross someone in a wheelbarrow on this tightrope. Do you have any volunteers? Do any of you believe that I can do it? Well, yeah, many believe that he can do it, but they don't want to be the volunteers.
They're not going to get into the wheelbarrow
to actually go through. And so this idea, this Greek word here of believe, combines faith in believing in something, in Jesus in this case, right? But then you give your loyalty by action, by giving your allegiance to Jesus. And so that's what it means to believe in his name.
Yeah, I think that's a really...
Because even the demons and believe in yeah. Jesus, that he exists. Yeah, but they're not allegiant. They have no allegiance to Jesus.
That's a really good point. I think that's important, because I think, you know, in some circles, and particularly in America, there's kind of an easy believism. And people think, well, because, you know, I was 9 and I went to church camp.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I walked an aisle and somebody prayed over me, that I'm good now. Mm-hmm. I punched my ticket to heaven. I got my fire insurance. but that's not the kind of belief we're talking about. Yeah. Because being born into another family is going to change your identity. It should. Yeah. It should result in you behaving differently. Mm-hmm. Because if you have been living as a child of, you know, a mafia Prince. I'm stretching here, guys. Work with me.
Yeah, right. I follow.
I wondered about some of your background.
But if you've been living in a crime family, right?
Right.
You might, certain things might be acceptable, and not only acceptable, but expected of you, mm-hmm. right? To break the law and to lie and to be violent. But if you are born into a different kind of family, or you're accepted into a different family, a family where the values are light and life and peace and love, then the expectation is that you will then become part of that family by behaving part of that family.
Well, especially in that culture, the Greco-Roman culture, who you were born and what family you came from, what part of social class you were from, dictated a lot of your life. And this great privilege that believers have to be born of God, this is our new identity. This gives us a whole new status as people, believing in being born of God. Is who you, your birthplace, birthright meant a lot for those people in that in that time.
And it still does today. I've been watching The Crown on Netflix. And, you know, one of the things that's fascinating, and it's fiction, but, you know, it's based on the lives of the royal family, and specifically Queen Elizabeth II. And it's just interesting, like the very specific ways, the specific expectations that are placed on people who marry into that family, mm-hmm. that's bewildering to them. And sometimes, like, why do I have to do that? Or why am I not allowed to do this? Or, but part of being a member of the royal family of Great Britain means that you act in a certain way. You have a different identity. Mm-hmm. You are, you know, His Royal Highness or Her Royal Highness. And with that title comes responsibilities.
Right. And the way he phrases it is that they gave the rights to become children of God. That's to become God's offspring. Mm-hmm. Not that humans become God themselves, but we take on His character. Mm-hmm. We take on that as to be like Him. And I think the powerful statement that John makes here, you know, later in 1 John, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, mm-hmm. that we should be called the children of God." It's just an overpowering thing that this happens to somebody, to change who you are.
Yeah, He takes us on, and with all our yuckiness and all our problems and all our brokenness. And He says, "I love you.
Right.
You're my child. I love you. I will do anything for you, even to the extent of I will be born in a manger and I will die on a cross." Mm. Mm-hmm. That's love. That's what our Father feels for us, and not only feels for us, but acts on our behalf.
Yes.
And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Yep. And so I think in the hustle and bustle, we've got to keep reminding ourselves of what are we really celebrating this time of year. And like we talked about last week, all this stuff's fun. I love a well-lit tree. I love a beautifully frosted cookie.
I like to eat a frosted cookie.
I love a Christmas carol. But what we really want to do is love Jesus more than all, and allow His love to shine out through us into the darkness, because we're His ambassadors, right? We're His children. How are people going to know?
Right.
If we're not the ones to tell them. Okay. Well, we have decided, or I have decided, and the guys have just been forced to go along with it because I'm the host, that each week we are going to do a little something personal about what we like about Christmas, or something that a fondness we have in this time of year. And so I asked the guys today to share with you guys a favorite Christmas memory or favorite Christmas tradition from when they were growing up. What about you, Mark? What's a fun Christmas memory you
there
have?
Was one that I really remember. I had three older brothers. And so Christmas could be kind of rough house, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of sugar, a lot of
excitement. Oh, man, it could go nuts. So anyway, one of my brothers bought all four of the brothers these kind of like Nerf gun things. And so we went downstairs and had a war for about an hour. It was one of the most joyous Christmas of my life.
Fond memories.
Nobody lost an eye?
No eyes. You put your eye out. It was a great time. That was one of the funnest Christmases of my growing up as a kid, was remembering the war with my brother. So it was all in brotherly love.
Yeah. Yes, it was. No one actually got hurt.
No.
Well, maybe a few.
Sort of that. We got over it.
We got over it. That's great. What about you, Jaime?
I have a reoccurring memory of a Christmas every year until my sophomore year in high school. my dad would take the entire family to Mexico. So we would spend 2 weeks, the 2 weeks we got off from school, and then he would always take an extra week. So 3 weeks in Mexico, just having Christmas there with my grandparents and all my uncles and cousins, and celebrating Christmas in Mexico. There is no Santa Claus in Mexico. And so, but there are the three wise men, the three kings, and they bring your gifts in January. And so
that's a long wait.
You only
man.
Open one gift on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. on the 24th that night, and then the others you open in January, several days later. And so that was my memory. Every year
you definitely want to stay that extra week then.
Yes. Yeah. That's, really
that's
why.
That's right.
Why.
Yeah.
You had to wait till after the, I guess it took the wise man a couple of days to get
they're
there.
Slow. Right. Yeah, they're slow. Those camels, they don't go yeah. very fast.
Jaime, I've got to ask this. What was the food like? Because making me hungry.
There was all kinds. Everything from authentic tamales.
The real stuff.
Yeah, the real stuff too.
These were Santa Claus tamales. Oh, that's right.
Well, there's one. No
the wise man ate the tamales.
So, yep. Yeah. Good stuff. So that was every year we would go, and that would always just fill my heart of joy to be able to spend Christmas down there.
Yeah. And see your extended family.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. What about you, Bruce?
I have a great memory from this year already. And that was that we always set up the Christmas tree the day or two after Thanksgiving. So this year on Saturday, we set up the Christmas tree and when our kids were growing up, they would help put the ornaments on. And this year, we had enough grandchildren in our house that the grandchildren put the ornaments on, and they're old enough to do that. And it was just so sweet to gather around the Christmas tree and watch my grandkids put these ornaments on that my kids had put on. And some of those ornaments are all the way back to when I was a little boy.
Wow.
And so we have a little red boot, like a little Christmas red boot that I had since I was a little boy.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. And are all the ornaments now like less than 4 feet high?
Well, we did adjust the height of some ornaments.
Yeah, my kids are great to help with the tree. And every year I've given them an ornament since they were born. So now they have quite a collection now. They're getting older.
Well, this year we got a gift, which we were not expecting, which was 9 ornaments. Because there are 9 grandchildren, and their name was calligraphied on each ornament.
Oh, that's neat. So that's
I bet your wife loves that.
Oh, yes, Tamara loved it.
She loves being a grandma. That's the best. Okay, well, for me, Christmas usually meant traveling to one of my grandparents' house. We didn't live close to them. So I loved nothing more than piling in the car once we got out of school and going to visit one of my grandmothers, because both of them were really good cooks, and both of them loved to bake. And so there were always plenty of pies and cakes and candies and stuff. And then as I got older, my dad's mom, she really invested in teaching me how to make some of that stuff. And that's just really precious to me that I can now replicate some of those desserts.
Guys, I think we need to taste it, right?
I'm feeling
you
that.
You want proof,
well,
right?
I'm wanting some tamales, and I want some Elisa's pies.
Right. How does this always come back to food?
Hey, the important stuff is saved for last.
Well, it's also because we record this before dinner time, too. Yeah. That might have something to do with it. We're always like, oh, man, it's getting late. Well, dear listeners, we hope that you have some fun Christmas traditions. And if you don't, if your childhood wasn't particularly idyllic, start some now. One of the things that the light can do, one of the things that Jesus can do is redeem things. That's what God's in the business of, taking things that were broken and hard and making them bright and light. And so for people who are in a rough spot this year, I would love to give you that hope of redemption. That God can take whatever hard thing that you're going through, and somehow, some way, He can use it for His good, or for your good and His glory, so that other people might find Jesus. And so that sometimes is the hope we hold on to, if this is not a particularly Merry Christmas for you. Well, guys, thank you so much for sharing. I'll come up with another personal question too for next week.
And at least I want to point out, hey, you're doing a lot better.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
You are really doing a lot better. I'm so glad.
Yes. I was pretty weak when we started back in September, and I don't have a cane anymore.
Hey, you're doing well.
Walking around. I'm up to a mile on my little neighborhood walks. So, awesome. So that's a blessing. I'm praising God for that. All right. Well, Bruce, since you're back, would you close us in prayer?
Sure. Lord, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you that you did come into this world as the true light to give light to everyone. And Lord, we pray that you would use us to be witnesses like John the Baptist, that more people would receive you into their lives, believe in you, and experience the right, the joy of being your children. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.